Blog Talk Radio.
Informational leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the realization of human potential.
I'm Dr. Judith Wright. I also am a professor of transformational coaching at the Wright Graduate University for the realization of human potential. We're both co-founders of the Graduate University and co-founders of Wright, our personal professional development. We want to do everything we can to bring out the best, and today we're focusing on bringing out the best in your relationships. And this is where kiss and yell your way to intimacy.
Amen. So we're thrilled to have you here today, and this month is about play. So we've got our entire Wright community. We call ourselves the Alive Tribe, and we're working each month on a theme. So people that are remote, who have only, you know, gotten our book, who have done next to nothing, can move with us and learn and grow. Because one of our key methodologies is called the assignment way of living. That way we keep an assignment in mind. And we use that assignment to keep ourselves engaged so we get a little bit more out of each day. And so little by little, we can actually be engaged in rematrixing, bringing out our best, transforming, changing our neural net, all terms that will come to have more meaning for you down the road.
Well, I think I want to talk about play for a bit, Bob, and play in relationships, since that's what our focus is, because play isn't just ha-ha, laughy, giddy play, although that's pretty fun and it's an important part of relationships. In fact, the studies show that couples that do play, that have a sense of humor, that they have a little lightness of being, tend to be happier and tend to have more satisfying relationships. But we talk about play, we're using, it's actually an existential principle from Jean-Paul Sartre, and really it's aliveness in relationship. It's like being really alive and engaged in the relationship, in relationship with yourself, relationship with the people, your loved ones, relationship with the project you're working on. But and if you think about a little kid, when they're playing, they're not always laughing. You know, they're like, they're serious. They're looking at their trucks or their baby dolls or whatever, and they're like serious and engaged. It's like this whole immersion and this deep engagement. And I think, you know, I think in terms of relationship, that we use the word engaged. Do we get engaged in order to get married or whatever? But then what happens after you're married? You know, like after the wedding, like you're not engaged anymore. And I think engagement and really being aliveness in relationship is a really big part of
it. Yeah, I really vote for this engagement. I love it when I'm on my computer and you talk to me from the other room and I say, uh-huh.
Oh,
uh-huh.
I hate it.
Uh-huh. And then you tell me that the house is burning down and I say, no, it's not. I fooled you.
Yeah.
That's not really what we're talking
about.
That's
not what we're talking about. But I think, you know, there's the level of really playing, being present here and now in the moment, knowing what you're feeling, engaging fully with one another is a huge part of relationship. And oftentimes what happens is that we get kind of in ruts and routines. Things become kind of systemized. Even if couples still go on dates, oftentimes their dates become kind of routinized and they're not playing anymore. And what the studies are showing, we found this in our own experience, obviously, in our own relationship and with the people that we coach and couples, but that it's really like it's novelty in that play is really important. And novelty in the bedroom is one part of it, but it's really like the novelty, doing things that are more playful, more adventurous, where you're learning, like if you haven't, go hiking or go for a bike ride or go for a walk or go to a lecture or go to something rather than just a movie or just dinner all the time, even though those are great things. But there's something that awakens you more fully to the playful aspect, because if you're playing, you're usually learning, you're growing, you're experiencing something new, there's something fresh about it, there's something in the moment. It's a much more alive experience. And I think that vitality in relationships, it's really critical. You know, I think I told you this morning, but some of the studies that, you know, I've been doing a lot of research as we're working on our couples book, and the studies are showing about same thing we found, is that fighting is actually important and you need to resolve conflicts. And in fact, doing that earlier and sooner is better. Kind of that discomfort short term is really worth the long term results that you get from working with that. But also that couples that have more novelty and mix it up more, they tend to be much more satisfied. But the other part about is that couples, it's not the fighting that causes problems in relationships so much. That's an issue sometimes, and we need to learn how to resolve those. But it's having a lot of fighting without a lot of play. If you have more play, if you have more positive kinds of ways that you're engaging, if you have affirmation, if you have some sweet times, if you have some things you're doing together, the fighting is not that big a deal. I mean, yeah, you need to resolve your conflicts. You need to learn from them or whatever. It's when you miss that playful part that the relationship is in trouble.
So this is like me tapping your teeth in the middle of the night.
I can't believe you're bringing that up. That was the wildest thing.
Well, it was novel.
Well, I know. I wake up, and Bob, like, my, you know, your mouth is open. You're sleeping. And Bob is with his fingernail. He's tapping on my teeth. He's playing with my teeth. And, like, what is that? You know, he's like a little kid. It's like, he's just curious. Huh, I wonder about it. I'm like, what is that? But you were having fun.
It was better than the mouse that fell on your face in the middle of the night.
Oh, that was terrible. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you said that. That did not feel playful to me. You're saying it in a playful way, though, I get right now. Literally, that happened. We were rehabbing this house, and it was out in the woods, and I'm sleeping, and this somewhere from the rafters, this mouse falls out of the ceiling on my face and scampers over my face and off. Oh, my gosh. That was really freaky. I did not enjoy that sensation. So
I think that mouse was just trying to play with you.
Yeah, maybe he was.
You weren't very appreciative.
I was not appreciative, but you were pretty sweet with me. You understood I was freaked out. We had a big laugh, and we still did. We're still laughing about that little misadventure in the middle of the night. So, but that's playful to be able to laugh and have your shared story.
Well, and the nourishment and growth is kind of a tough one for people to get, because nourishment has to do with being accurately seen in the here and now with positive regard, consistently and unconditionally. And it's really about being with each other fully. So the play is nourishing when I'm with you. You see me,
I see you. Yeah.
Especially when we're seeing each other in ways that we were never seen before.
Yeah.
Because when I first married you, you know, I thought you were the first person who had ever really known me and really accepted and wanted to be with me. I had other people that wanted to be with me, but I didn't think they really knew me. Well, so you represented, when we got together, my self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. Yet, as we played and interacted and grew, we got to a point where you needed to reject me because I needed to be on my own side. So playing included you yelling at me, blaming me, rejecting me, and basically going into territory that was highly against our original contract.
It sure was against my original wiring.
Well, otherwise I wouldn't have been growing. I wouldn't have been forced to look at myself, to be on my own side, and you wouldn't have been being more and more on your own side.
I didn't even know what my side was. It's actually, in a way, I mean, because it's like by engaging in that way and learning, and you're pushing me and I'm pushing back or whatever, I had to develop opinions. I had to know what it was that I thought. I had to have a sense of, wait, what do I want? What matters to me? What is that? And to fight back with that I had not had that well developed earlier on in our relationship. So it was good for me to do that.
Yeah, and to realize I'm absolutely the sweetest, kindest, easiest-going guy in the world.
You are the sweetest and kindest. I wouldn't say easiest-going. You are a very, very generous man.
So we're here talking about kissing and yelling your way to intimacy.
Well, we have some callers today that have some questions about that and some social.
And we have a wonderful first callers. It's our 17-year anniversary. What we want to know is, well, we're owners of the same company. How do we make us time instead of company time?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, Bob and I are in business together and own the same company, too. So those are really good questions. And congratulations on your anniversary. And I'm glad that you're calling on in to even get more out of your relationship. Tell us more what you mean. What's going on for the two of you?
Hey, Bob and Jen. This is Eric and Jennifer.
Hello.
Hi, Eric.
Can you hear me?
Hey.
Hi. So, I mean, yes, we are partners in a marketing and creative agency, and we, you know, we drive to work together, we work all day together, we drive home together, and then at night we rehash what happened at work, and sometimes we get into a big fight over some account or some project just before going to bed, and it just feels like I don't know where to draw the line, and it's part of our lives, so it's hard to say, well, let's just draw a hard line and not think about what happened at work because it affects how we relate at home. So I think the challenge is, you know, is there a line, and if not, how do you navigate that, the two dynamics of a world beyond work?
Well, there's a couple questions in this one, so let me kind of dig in, and then we can hear from Jennifer as well. But what's wrong about the two of you talking about work if it's something that's part of who you are in your lives and something that you've joined? Do you feel like, is there something else missing and you think that talking about work is in the way of that? What's the problem with that, given that that is a big part of your lives? What's missing?
Well, I think, there's a couple of things. So there's, like, I just listening to you earlier talking about play, we're missing that. We used to play a lot more, and our dates used to be a lot more interesting, and so I think that's a big chunk that's missing for us now. We're not as playful in our dates. We tend to go to dinner, watch a movie, and we used to do really fun things, like go to the bookstore and look at children's books, and so that's missing now. And the other thing is there's a way that we talk about work where we get excited and we brainstorm, and that's really fun, and then there's a way that we talk about work that's all logistics
right.
at home,
mm-hmm.
and that's not fun.
Or we carry baggage from an issue from work into the evening, and it's something we can deal with at work the next day, but we turn it into something that we deal with at home.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's logistics, and we're not doing some of the things we used to do.
Yeah.
How are the kids fitting into this picture?
Well, you know, they're being teens, they're peripheral, but, I mean, and, you know, actually, you bring up a good point. Cause
I mean, you've become peripheral,
huh? Right.
Well, and that is a good point because I've been really enjoying our family dinner, but we just tend to focus on them and their day.
Right, and I think we used to play more when they were around. Now that they're teens in their rooms or having their time with their friends.
Yeah, they're playing outside the home, not with you anymore, like when they're younger.
Right.
Well, so, you know, there's a couple things. You used to go to bookstores, and you used to do things that were new and exciting. And it sounds to me like your business is giving you new, exciting things every day.
Yep.
The bigger issue to me is, are you two learning and growing? Because that's what play is about. It's not about the playground versus the office. It's about your degree of engagement and the level to which you are being stimulated and learning and growing. And my guess is you two play together all day long, and part of the reason you like to zone out in front of the TV is because you've been playing pretty damn hard.
Well, I absolutely feel that. And I think we're looking for some sort of, you know, maybe it's this utopian idea that we're always giggling and laughing when we're together outside of work. And sometimes it gets pretty damn serious when we go home and talk about work.
Well, let me give you another concept, because it doesn't sound like you're being personal enough. It sounds like you're talking about work without bringing your feelings in.
Yeah.
So you're really losing yourselves at work rather than finding yourself. I want you to consider that work is about finding yourself. And I want to also make a distinction. Pardon me?
I think it was a speed test.
I want to make a distinction between work play and play, as we're discussing it, and recreation. There are reasons to recreate. Where we need some new stimulus. The TV's not recreation. It's kind of a zoning out way to kind of be together and just tone it down. I know a woman who wrote a book called The Soft Addiction Solution, and she would frown on that, although I happen to know her very well, and I happen to know that she and her husband do much of the same thing you're talking about. But I also know that they have faced some of the things that you're talking about. and they look to recreate. They look to cross-country mm-hmm. ski. They look to walk. And there are times that they have learned to look to still other kinds of recreation, a diversion that is uplifting in a new and different way. For example, we've taken to going to the symphony again, and we make it a point to go to musical reviews, and we find that this periodic stimulation is important for recreation. So I want to distinguish recreational play from everyday play. I want to also distinguish... Pardon me?
Oh, the novelty factor, you know, recreation, I don't think we recreate nearly enough.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that recreation is the answer, but novelty is, mm-hmm. I think, a big deal for us.
And is there things to either kind
it
of
is a big deal.
Reboot yourself, kind of reboot your computer in that way, also to be inspired so you've got more
mm-hmm.
ideas and creativity to come back into your business, whether it's music or art or, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know what you're interested in, but whatever that is, or just fun physical things, whatever it kind of rings your chimes. But you come back refreshed, you come back with more energy, you come back with new perspectives, you come back with different ways of doing things. In fact, there's a book, it's called Iconoclast, and by Byrne, but what he's looking at is who are the people that make these big changes in life? Who are the ones, the creative ones, the ones that are paradigm shifters? What do they do? What's the neuroscience of that? And one of the things that they do is they force themselves to be in different, in new perceptions, different experiences. They travel. They put themselves into things they're not used to. They'll go to a lecture on a topic that's totally opposite of what they think about. They make themselves see things from different perspectives, but kind of breaking out of their norm is what helps them have this immense creativity that has made these big, huge contributions in our world.
Yeah, we used to go to an organization where they had thinkers with big, big ideas. They would just blow our minds with the possibilities and the perspectives that they brought up. And we would be riding on one of those big ideas for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, maybe even a year. And then the organization started becoming more inbred. And the introduction to the new big thinkers was not as stimulating to us. And so we went about finding another organization.
And starting our own graduate university, so
well,
we stimulate all the time. But no, we find other
things. Yeah, I get stimulated almost every morning when Judith tells me about what she was reading the previous night.
Well, and reading is another thing, exposing yourself to different ideas. I don't think you have trouble figuring out what some of these things are when you start to look at it, but learning to value those kinds of, and recreation means that you recreate yourself, and the essence of the word is that you recreate, you become fresh again. So I think that's really good. So I'm going to tag that for a minute. You two looking at some more of that novelty and the fun and experimenting and the refreshment and the recreating that would be really restorative for you. And I want to go back to the thing you started with too, Bob, about how there's a lot that you're doing playing in your business right now. There's a lot for you both to be doing, mm-hmm. but not... You may not be bringing yourself fully into these conversations. So I was thinking about that, Bob. Like, we talk about our work a lot. It's what we share. It's our mission. It's our purpose. We talk about that at work, not at work, or whatever. But it's not just the stuff of the business, because oftentimes what I'm talking about is like what I'm scared about or what I'm upset about or where I've got a big charge with something or someone that I need to get resolved or where I feel like I'm up against some skill that I haven't had developed and I need some help with it or I need some strategizing. So there's not just the stuff of work, but what does it mean to me and the help that I need or the feelings that I'm having that I want to share with my best friend and my partner. But let me have you react to that. What are you hearing from that?
Well, I love that idea. And here's some of the things I've been challenged with is, like, basically he's my boss. And... So I want to come and tell him where I'm challenged by, and then I also, well, I want to be the employee that he thinks is doing a really good job and is wowed by and has it all handled. And so I have this anxiety almost, you know, coming to him and saying, wow, this thing that you want me to do, actually I'm really scared by it and I don't know how to handle it. So I want to come to him as my husband, but in reality he's my boss as well.
Well, hey, how much of that is because you don't want to give him the satisfaction of really helping you?
No, I do want his help.
Okay. Well, I don't think it matters, good employee or wife. A good employee would bring the challenges to their boss.
Yeah, I see that. I think that's what's been missing, I think to what you were saying, Judith, being more honest about what's coming up for us personally, scared, shitless, or otherwise. I mean, just challenged or excited. I mean, I don't share with you how excited I am about stuff. I'm usually trying to just give it to you as data.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also want you to share with me where you're scared if I'm giving you something to work on. So I can see where that's the play.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opportunity to play. So.
Yeah, and I want to see you have more excitement because I see you, you know, head down in your computer the majority of the time.
Right, right.
But you're not talking.
Are you sure you wanted him to have more excitement because you're withholding the opportunity for the excitement of being a boss, contributing to a gifted employee when you don't go to him?
Okay.
I think we got a lot more layer here than we anticipated.
Yeah.
You're supposed to just give us a little
cool
game to play.
Yeah,
what's
well,
that?
It is cool. Isn't it cool? It is cool. It's challenging. It's really up against it. But this is cool. I'm excited. There's an animation in your inquiry right now with the two of you that's more playful. There's a lot to talk about out of just what we just talked about. So I think, I mean, I'm holding it two arenas here. One is more inspiring, novel kind of play, things that you do, things to inspire you to recreate, to kind of refresh yourselves and to get rebooted. I can see you adding more of that in. That you actually do dates is awesome. Just some other ways for you to do that that's a little more stimulating and also helps you get away from the day-to-day. And when you do talk, is really bringing more of yourself into the conversation, what you're feeling,
yeah,
what's going on, and just even what you just said, even the fears of, oh, but you're my boss. Oh, you're my husband. Well, as my husband, I want to tell you this, my boss, whatever. But I think what you left him with, Bob, was really good. Like, really, like the joy of what it is to really, as a boss, to empower and support a gifted employee. What a beautiful way to look at that. And also to have that opportunity for that creativity and working together in that way. You two've got some, you've got some homework, I think, now.
We do.
This is really rich.
This is great. I think this is a good way to celebrate your anniversary.
Happy anniversary and thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye, bye, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Eric wanting to have, this is great. This is a great inquiry.
See, they're in a perfect opportunity to work on their own learning, growing, and transformation. And, you know, that's what your research revealed in our book, Transform, the Science of Spectacular Living. They need to be more in touch with their yearning. They need to engage more. They need to see. They revelated a lot here. They saw patterns.
Saw things.
They had ideas. And you can pick up two free chapters of the book at rightliving.com/two free chapters.
Spell out the word two free chapters. It's Transform, the Science of Spectacular Living. And you'll see all the what we discovered in people who live really great lives and have great relationships. What's the process they follow? And all the research and all the stories and anecdotes and tips for you that you can read to enrich not just your own life, but your relationship. It's what we use as well. So you're here at Blog Talk Radio, bringing out your best, and our focus today is on Kiss and Yell, Your Way to Intimacy, with your host, Dr. Judith Wright, and
Dr. Bob Wright. And we have two of my favorite callers coming up now. We have Jesse and George.
Oh, what's their question today?
Says, how do I distinguish between manipulation, abuse, and anger? Whoa! Every time I say something that's the truth, I feel like I'm going to get beat up physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Oh, I wonder which one's saying that. Are they both saying, well, let's
feel like
out.
I'm going to get beat up. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, tell us more.
Talk to us.
Jesse and George.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, okay. Hi, Bob and Judith.
Hi.
So, well, I guess one thing that really is in mind right now is our interaction recently with I think just seeing G go into this repetition and then not really wanting to hear it, or just feeling as if I'm going and be like, I'm hearing this, but you're repeating yourself and I've heard it before, and just like, I guess not myself wanting to engage, but also getting a fuck you, not really wanting to engage more upon that. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting a lot of fuck yous lately and not a lot of, like, playful, hey, let's work on that, or what is going to be, you know, what's going to happen within, you know, our playfulness versus our seriousness, or, yeah, I guess within laughter, where can I be playful with that and also get my point across?
Well, you know, let me go to the first thing that we've got here. Because every time I say something's the truth, I feel like I'm going to get beat up physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Is that you, Jesse, saying that, or is that George?
That's me.
Okay, that's what I assumed. So you're saying, because what you were talking about more was what when he says things, but there's a let's find out more about
so, that. So has there ever been a situation in your life where you really were beaten up physically, mentally, and spiritually?
Not necessarily physically, but more of like, I'm not sure exactly where it's coming from, the yelling or the, I'm not too sure about that. It's a really touchy subject coming from a more of an abusive family, so it's kind of easy to disregard anger then and kind of not look at it as something that's bad.
Well, let's look at why we get into relationship. One of the reasons we get into relationship is to finish our unfinished business. And the real question from our point of view is, are you going to be on your own side enough to tell
yeah.
the truth and to stand up to everything that you're afraid of? Because that's how you can learn and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And kiss and yell your way to intimacy. And it sounds like you've got some doubt about whether or not you'll really stand up for yourself.
Well, and I want to say, you know, Jesse, when you yell and you get angry, like, I take notes.
Like, hang on, George. Hang on a second, because I hear you. But I think there was a question on the table for Jesse before you say that.
Okay.
So the question for me is, when standing up for myself, I guess,
yeah.
for me, standing up for myself, I'm pretty good about talking about it. I guess me, I don't like all of the negative feedback that I've been getting. It's like I'm not feeling that that pull or like, I hear you, but this isn't how I feel. I guess I'm just not getting what I want out of it with my truth at all the time.
Okay, I'm hearing you. So there's something about I still think there's something to you, not necessarily because standing up for yourself, because you're going to hold back if you feel like you're going to get some negative washback from it sounds like. And you're kind of saying that is what's happening, that you're getting a lot of criticism or things that feel whatever unpleasant or uncomfortable, or maybe you judge them as mean. You know, I don't know exactly how you experience that, but there's somehow that it feels like you're not necessarily standing up for yourself or telling your truth in a way that's making the changes that you really want. Somehow you're not feeling seen or understood, and the things aren't shifting the way you want them to be. Does that feel accurate?
Yeah, that does feel pretty accurate.
Okay. And it sounds like, what is it that you want him to understand or get or see that you're not getting? It sounded like there was something about, you know, you just feel kind of attacked or criticized, but you're not necessarily feeling appreciated or cared about or something like that. Is that sound in the ballpark?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. That seems pretty right.
Okay.
I feel
all
like you're right. Seeing me pretty accurately at the moment.
Right. I think you should share with Jesse the early years of our relationship.
What part? What about it? Like, you're
how much you embraced my criticisms and.
Oh my God.
My observation.
I did not. Well, yeah, I was pretty defensive. I thought that Bob's criticisms of me meant something really, like I was horrible, like I was this terrible person, and I would try to defend his criticisms or just judge him as just a jerk or mean or whatever, because it was so hurtful to me to hear these things. I didn't hear it like constructive data. I didn't take it in like, oh, that's interesting. That might be something for me to work on. I took it like some horrible indictment, and then I just would resent him and hate him and be so mad at him, and I didn't know how to really counter, because there actually was a lot of truth in what he was saying, so I couldn't just fight the whole thing because it wasn't untrue what he was saying most of the time. His feedback actually was fairly accurate, so I couldn't just get that out, but wow, did I build up a lot of resentment. And you said this before on the Blog Talk Radio, Bob, but what I would do in the early days, I didn't know how to express myself fully and get that sorted through and to say stuff, so I'd write in my journal, and I'd put it all in my journal. He's this, and he's so arrogant, he thinks he knows everything, and he treats me like crap, blah, 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 you know, everything I had to say. But then I would kind of unconsciously, interestingly, leave my journal out, leave it open on the kitchen table where he couldn't help but see it, so he'd know how I really felt, because I didn't know how to really say that to him, how I was really feeling. I didn't know how to sort that out. So what can you relate to from what I'm saying?
I mean, I guess I can totally relate to what you're saying within, you know, we're both transforming. I'm learning a lot, always wanting to better myself. So I think I'm trying to be the best person I can in the moment. And, I guess it's hard to feel or, like, be, like, taking all of this criticism and being on my own side about it and knowing myself and, like, what I want is more around the bigger picture and, like, kind of getting the feedback from him and not taking it so personally also.
Well, you know, the other thing is behind every criticism is a request, and a lot of people don't make the request and they don't really identify what it is they want when they criticize. This was kind of a big, big lesson for me, because the way I was raised, you got criticized once and that was it, and you were expected to adjust, and I did. And it took me the longest time to realize that a criticism was not a request. And a criticism was not necessarily an action that moves towards the desired state.
So that's been feedback for George about that. George, we don't want you to not talk. I mean, we certainly want you to say your criticisms. What do you want out of the relationship? Tell your truth to Jesse. That's an important part of relationships. But to also make sure that there's a clear request in the criticisms or the upset or what it is you're saying to her. Now, she can choose to meet that request or not. That's her choice. But at least it's clearly put out responsibly from you. What do you? How does that relate for you, George?
Yeah, that hits me because I think a lot of times I'll talk, and what might sound like criticism may be criticism, or maybe me figuring out what I want or what I'm looking for, and looking, you know, to Jesse, I'll look to you to try to figure out what it is that I want. And so that's not even. So I can see how I don't come with the exact thing that I want as
okay.
a request.
That's one good line of inquiry. Now let me give you another line of inquiry. How often that you're criticizing her are you really unhappy with yourself?
Yeah. I probably 90% of the time.
Whoa, that's really high.
It's like I want her to change instead of, you know, to like join me or to show me that it's possible or something before I'm, yeah, it's like I try to use, yeah, I think, Jesse, I try to like use you to see where I'm going, and it doesn't work.
Well, you know, that's fine. The question is, how soon do you go back to what your part of it is? Because, you know, one of our ground rules in couples is no one gets more than 50% of the blame, and everybody gets 100% responsibility for their own happiness. So the real question is, can you get back to those two ground rules in any fight? And I think the two of you are going to find that if you'll work towards that, it'll give you a lot more room to engage and then move to a position of responsibility. I'd never have you hold back.
No, and it's not like, well, Jesse wants you to be a different way also out of this. So it's not about holding back. It's about being a little more honest in what you're saying or how you're feeling or what it is you really want or what's going on with you, George. And, Jesse, it's for you, like, if your feelings are hurt, to say that. If you're angry, that you say that. If it's scary to you, that you say that. So that there's more truth there. A more vulnerable truth for the two of you to be able to keep forging. Otherwise, you'll just keep trying to manage each other's behavior. George, you'll try to get Jesse to change. And you just keep kind of managing each other. And this needs to open up to get to more what's really going on so you can resolve
it. I feel like
I've gotten a lot better at that.
we've caught each other. Like, there's been sometimes where we've been managing each other. I think the other day, Jesse, you're like, well, we really... You just looked at me and you're like, we really want to manage each other all the time, don't we?
Good catch. Good call. And most couples will, if they were honest, could probably tell you that, too. You just want the other person to change. You know, you don't want to have to show up so fully yourself or be that vulnerable sometimes. But I think for the two of you, I think you've got some direction here. And actually just even having this forum right now for you to kind of explore this a bit more. George, it's for you to really look at what's underneath the criticisms. How are you feeling? What is it that's going on inside of you? What's your direct request of Jesse? And Jesse, it's for you more. There's a level of engagement for you more to not just try to manage it or be whatever. There's a deeper level of truth for you to say about how you feel when this stuff comes this way. And it also sounds like you want more credit for the things you are doing to change. It feels like there's something that you want from him as well. There's probably some more direct requests from you to him. And then you can both decide if you want to meet those or not. But there's just another layer of both things, deeper vulnerability with your feelings and more clarity about what it is that you really want from one another so you can really have the more of the hopes of things moving for you rather than just getting stuck in these patterns. So you take those two things on and then let us know how it goes. Okay, great.
Thanks very much
for calling in. That was great.
Thank you.
Those are the couple's dynamics. You are on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio with Dr. Judith Wright and
Dr. Bob Wright, and we are doing couples today, kiss and yell your way to intimacy.
And that's, yeah, it's all both. It's all together with that. We also, we talked to you before about Transform, the Science of Spectacular Living, that book that Bob and I co-wrote about the process. We found that people live really great lives and have great, juicy, intimate, growing relationships, the process they follow. But not only do we have that book, we do a training, the Transform training, where we teach the skills of how to really be deeper in touch with what you really yearn for and to engage fully in life, to get that mad and to have more truth in your life and relationships. Many of the things we've been talking about, but actually giving you the experiences and exercises and tools to be able to do that. And you're certainly welcome to come join us in Chicago for that training. But we also have it available if you don't come to Chicago, or you can do both, actually. You can come to Chicago and have it by video. We have a TT bundle, Transform Training Bundle, and you can get online access to this powerful Transform Training. I love that training. It's so, people get so much out of it. You get a workbook with exercises. You can apply different things to your life. You get an MP3, an audio of the entire training. You can listen to when you're working out or on your bike ride or your run or in your car. And you get your own copy of our Nautilus award-winning book. And Nautilus Awards are Better Books for a Better World. And that's of Transform, the Science of Spectacular Living. And you get a vision coaching session. And this is over a $1,300 value. And we have bundled it before at a discount at $297. But you, instead of the $1,297, you can get it for $297. And you go to www.transform.com. ttbundle.com, ttbundle.com, and you can enter the code blog bundle, B-L-O-G, bundle, B-U-N-D-L-E, blog bundle, ttbundle.com, and then to the code blog bundle, and you can get that discounted price. Remember, you get all that coaching, you get the training, you get audio, you get a workbook, and you can do it at your own pacing, and we'd love to have you have that experience. So let's move on to our third caller. Bob, this is our third caller is Dee. And Dee's question, oh, it's interesting. Dee's question is, how do I maintain interest in my relationship when I think I'm being taken advantage of? Ooh, that's a conundrum.
Well, for starters, I don't know what it means. So
yeah,
tell us about
it. What does that mean?
Well, Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith, I have lots of yelling, no kissing, and communication, conversations in my life where my husband is very good at shutting the door. And when I say I feel taken advantage of, one of the things, or the thing that most often happens in our home is if we're with friends or we're entertaining in our own home, my husband, who is not well at the moment, has a tendency to show off and pretend that he's absolutely fine. When they're gone or not in our home or we're just together, there's a lot of anger. He sits in a chair and watches TV all day long. He no longer has an interest or even is involved in routine things that need to be done in a house or in a family. And so I feel taken advantage of because he'll show off and pretend to others that he is still capable and able. But if it's just us, it's like, bring me a cup of coffee, bring me a cup of water, whatever it might be, and I won't do it and because I'm just so angry. So it just comes out as very explosive, sometimes inappropriate anger when he just shuts the door on a conversation. We had a situation yesterday when we were talking about going on a vacation, and I let him know that I wasn't actually excited to be going on the vacation with him. I was looking forward to seeing everybody there. And his response was, well, just don't go then. And so he'll shut down the conversation. And so I get very hurt. I feel very sad that after 30 years, this is where we're at. And so I'm looking for some ways to support myself through this and perhaps to respond to him more appropriately than with an explosive outburst.
Well, for starters, it sounds like you've got a 2-year-old child there. How would you deal with a 2-year-old child like that?
I'd put them in a chair and speak to them. I'll put them in time out, but...
Well,
Or talk to them about sharing and caring.
Well, but for starters, remember, everyone's got 100% responsibility for their own satisfaction. And if he's not going to satisfy you, then seems to me he's going to have to get his own tea. And I would stop catering to him. I'd say, dude, you know, you want to take, but you don't want to give, and you cut off conversations, so I'm going to just let you stew in your own juices and get on and have a good time. Enjoy getting your own coffee, your own tea, and taking care of your own angry, self-centered self.
That sounds very, very good. I think my need to take care of people and make sure that he is safe and okay sometimes takes over my need to basically slap him across the head and walk out the door.
Well, I'm not talking about anything permanent. I'm talking about, can you be in the house and enjoy yourself and simply ignore him?
No, that there's conditions for your taking care of him, and if he's not meeting those conditions, you're not. It's a kind of a deal. Like you'd be. I mean, there's times that you'd be glad to be there for him, or you'd be glad to support him. I mean, there might be a moment where you may be too resentful right now. However, there's some earning of that. That you want some of that company behavior. You want to. There's certain things that matter to you. There's some requirements you have in order to be his helpmeet in that way. And he needs to meet those in order for you to do what it is that, you know, it's not like you have to withhold it from him permanently. I mean, you may choose to, but it's more about what are your requirements, what are your conditions for giving to him rather than just giving, because you're setting up, you're creating it, the pattern, because if you keep giving him and he doesn't have to give back, if you keep taking care of him, if you have this kind of more codependency going on, he has no impetus to change. There's, why would he? He's not stupid. He can get taken care of and be a sterling
guy. And you play by his rules,
yeah,
and he doesn't have to play by your rules.
Right.
Notice how you want us to feel sorry for you.
No, I actually don't really want you to feel. No, I'm not looking for sympathy.
Horse manure. You get a lot of mileage out of it. You get a lot of mileage out of letting people know what a jerk he is. But I want to see you be able to match his jerkhood with a very clear statement of what your ground rules are for him to get any of the bounty that you bring.
Yep, here's my requirements, and then I'll be glad to give you these things.
Uh-huh.
Your strength is our interest.
Yeah, and that's what I'm working to regain. I lost that probably about 5 years ago, and I'm working to regain my strength.
I don't think you lost it. I don't think you ever had it. I think you're tired. I think you're worn out. But what I'm talking about, I don't think you ever had.
To really be on your own side in that way.
He couldn't have gotten this outrageous if you were the woman I'm talking about, and a woman who I think you could be, who's willing to really be queen bee in her own house.
Mm-hmm.
Have it the way you want it.
And let the little sickly son of a gun hop to your tune. He wants to shut you out? Great. What's the consequence? What would you do with a two-year-old that was crossing his arms and shaking his head no and refusing things?
Again, that would either be a timeout or he'd be sent to his room.
Great.
Until he behaved.
Great. So you may not be able to send him to his room, but you can sure pretend he doesn't exist and only respond to what you consider to be desirable behavior.
And then being willing to respond to desirable behavior, so you're not just continuing to punish him so he gets what the game is. And enjoy it. You could actually even enjoy it, Dee. Like a little joyful sadism here, like, enjoy it.
That one I like.
I can hear that in your voice.
Well, I really doubt seriously this is someone that does his own laundry.
Actually, believe it or not, that is one thing that I force him to do. I will not do it.
Okay, and he does
that
do
is
it.
The one thing. But, you know, and it's little things. It's, for example, he doesn't put his plates away. He doesn't put them in the dishwasher. He just leaves them on the counter. And I've tried leaving them there for days, and nothing happens.
You've got so many stories. I'm ready to cry. You're like a tape recording ready to go.
You're
not like a warrior that we are helping prepare for battle. Every time we get near something where you can tell us your story of woe, you're profoundly interested in having us understand how bad it is for you. I want to hear how bad it can be for him.
Yeah, I'm going to make it bad for him now. I get it. I get it.
Great.
I really and truly do. I hear you very much so.
Great. I'm excited for you. And have fun, Dee. Make up a little list of your ground rules and how it is you want it to be, and you go for it. You be that woman warrior. And have some fun with this. I know you'll have your moments of challenge, but this could be kind of enjoyable. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens for you.
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
Great, thanks.
Okay,
Dee.
Go get them.
Dee, for calling.
I will.
You know, this is something that I think we've talked to Dee about before and others, but there is a way that you can work together with your loved one, your spouse, your partner, in order to really be able to work on these things together and create a common vision together. And what that is our life project planner. Because what that has is where the two of them can sit, if they chose to, or other couples, or you can, what's your vision for yourself? What's your vision for your partner? What's your vision for your relationship? And what would it take to do that? And what are some of the steps to take and the goals, and it guides you through this beautiful process, this life project planner, based on tons of research of people that actually make their lives a life project. How are they successful? What do they do differently? It's full of neuroscience, all kinds of things, and you just need to go through the template. And that life project planner is, you can transform your relationship, your career, your household, all kinds of things by using it. It's a free downloadable product that we'd love for you to have. You can go to www.lifeproject.com, www.lifeproject.com. And we are here on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio with Dr. Judith Wright and
Dr. Bob Ryan.
And we're couples kissing y'all your way to intimacy, and we have another caller.
And Joe is telling us that his girlfriend gets mad at how much he's doing in his life and that he doesn't have large open spaces of time just for her. She knows that he's working at living a big life, but she gets impatient and short with him when he has to talk business and related phone calls. Our time is crunched because of the various tasks that I take on, he tells us. So, Joe, talk to us.
So, yeah, you kind of laid it out well there, Bob, but for the most part, I feel like I get kind of glances, looks, and there's arguments that come around when I'm needed to tend to, you know, a conference call or, you know, hang out for an evening, but before the end of the night, I need to go do something on my computer, and she gets upset. And so, there's more that I want to do in my life. So, you know, I feel like I have to appease her.
You've got a way bigger problem than that, Joe. Whenever someone thinks the solution is time, that means to me that they would not use that time with you very well. That they are looking for time together because they've got some emptiness in their own life rather than profound, nourishing contact. If she were saying that you don't listen to her, if she were saying that you sit with her and just drone endlessly about your stuff but never show interest in her.
Or if she'd say, oh, I feel like everything else matters to you more than me, and I really need to know that you care about me and you value me, something kind of straight that way, rather than just, I want more time, then we got something more interesting you can work with.
But she's got a practical solution called more time.
Big open spaces of time.
And I've never heard anyone whose primary complaint was time. Time can be valid, but I've never heard anyone whose primary complaint was time and availability who knew how to use that time or availability.
Well, I have to say, Judith, the way you worded it was probably a bit more accurate in that I think as the conversation's gone on, she has felt as if I don't have enough, I'm not paying enough attention to her.
And that may be, and that's not a matter of
it's
time.
It's not about enough attention.
It's the quality.
When it becomes enough attention, that's another distraction. It's the quality of attention. How nourished does she get in the units of time she has?
How there are you with her, and how there is she with you, even if it's in a moment of passing.
People that aren't getting enough attention oftentimes will never get enough attention or enough time because they're not looking at the quality. Now, I'm not defending you, dude, because my guess is you don't give her very high quality. So now we'll take it to you. Because if she were experiencing high quality from you and profound, you know, intimacy and rapport, she'd be singing a different tune.
Yeah, you'd have a lot more grace.
Tap her teeth at night and see what happens.
Right. So, Joe, what do you think about your own availability and being with her in that depth of quality?
Wait, so I love Bob's analogies. What was the last thing you said, Bob?
You would have had to have been on with our first caller.
It was a story he told earlier in the broadcast.
It's a story about our marriage. We were probably about 9-10 years into our marriage, and one night Judith was sleeping with her mouth open, and her teeth looked so inviting. I just was sitting there adoring her. And I must have been adoring her for a half an hour already. And I think I really wanted some attention.
Yeah.
But what I did was I tapped her teeth
with my
fingernail.
It was the weirdest thing. But I really got that he'd just been sitting there kind of loving me, adoring me, watching me sleep, whatever. And then he's like playing with me, like a little kid would play with me. It was actually kind of a moment of following his urges of this impetuous kind of playing with me.
But the larger issue is Judith has always been fairly delighted because I seek her out.
Yeah.
I'm just hungry for time with her. So even if we don't have a lot of time, she knows I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And when we're at home alone together, and she's in the other room and she's fixing breakfast or doing something in the other room and I'm in one room, I'll call out to her. And we have a whole series of ways we stay engaged when we're not in the same room. And they're too embarrassing to say here.
But they're playful little games. They're just little interactive games that we play, which really lets me know. We may not have time to talk at that moment, but I know he's thinking of me. I know he cares about me. I know he's, like, holding me in consciousness. We might move on to the next thing. But these little nano moments of contact are really important.
Nice. Okay, nice. Well, this is great. I mean, there's been times where she hasn't complained, and I've been busy, and there's times where she does complain, and I'm just getting to the time where she has been complaining.
Yep.
I think that, I agree, I've been not 100% with her.
Yep, and it's not the busyness. You know, it's not just busyness, and it's not just time. It's how much are you with her? How much does she know that you care? How are you bridging that kind of? Are you upset that you aren't with her more? And what can happen? You can get in these bad patterns where she's upset, and then when you do have time, she might be kind of distant or complaining or whatever. Then you don't want to spend time with her, and then that keeps the pattern going. But you can break this one, and this is yours to break. You're the one calling in right now, and it doesn't mean you have to spend lots of time. But have a little delight in your face, a little availability, a little more quality.
Yeah, if you're not hungry to see her, then you're not putting her important enough in your life. And it's really about your hunger and how well you guys get together
and how well
loved she feels. And it's not about time.
And if there's things in the way that where you don't have that coming from you spontaneously or whatever, then that's stuff to clear. Maybe you're mad at her about something. Maybe you want more from her. Maybe you want her to support you more. Maybe there's some data there for you to look
at.
Well,
my guess is she's got some unfinished business about really feeling cared about and loved. And you've got some unfinished business about knowing that you're important and that you deserve to be nourished and you really get your belly all warm when you think about her, because that's when it's fun.
I think that's a beautiful thing to leave you with, Joe. Does it give you some room to work on this? I think it sounds good.
It does. That was great.
Go get her.
Yeah, let her know you care. And if you're not in the space of caring, then get that cleared out so you can your love and your adoration.
Intense togetherness.
Great. Thanks. That's great, Joe. That's a great one. I think that many people relate to that. You are here on Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Wright and Dr. Judith Wright. And today it's on couples. Kiss and yell your way. Great callers today. We had Jennifer and Eric who were celebrating their 17th anniversary. They also are in business together and their relationship and how do they engage and play both in recreation but also playing more vulnerably and more genuinely when they share about work, how they're feeling and what that means to them. And then we talked to Jesse and George who are working on George having complaints and some things he doesn't like about where Jesse is in some ways and she's
and
feeling
Jesse
criticized.
Complaining about George's complaints.
With their requests and also be more vulnerable. And then D, setting more standards in a relationship and not just building up resentment.
I just wanted her to be a bitch for setting
really enjoying that ride. side in that way and really like, look, I'll take care of you, but only if these conditions are met. Otherwise, you've got a timeout, which I thought was great. And then just talking to Joe about his girlfriend wanting more time because he's got a busy life right now. And really what we're saying, it's really quality of contact and that he needs to be there even if it's in short moments in the way that really works for both of them to really have that intimacy. So if you'd like to listen to this again, you can catch this streaming on www.blogtalkradio.com/bringoutthebest. Or you can view it on YouTube. So youtube.com/transformyourworld. And you can see a video of it.